This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The Trump administration wants to see a 20% cut over 10 years to the food stamp program that helps feed 42 million Americans annually. It's called SNAP now, and it is outlined in the federal farm bill, which will soon be under debate in Washington. The current bill is set to expire this fall. Researchers and educators at North Carolina State University are hosting a symposium this week, bringing together farmers, policymakers, and healthcare experts to help connect the dots in the changing world of food policy. The symposium is called Policy Impact, Federal to Local, Strengthening Food, Agriculture, and Healthcare Intersections in North Carolina. Lindsay Haynes-Maslow is a professor and extension specialist in the Department of Agriculture and Human Sciences at NC State, also the principal investigator of NC State's SNAP education program, Steps to Health, and one of the organizers of the symposium. Lindsay, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We should start again because the last time you were here, you did this, but it's important to tell us a little bit about the SNAP program.
Yeah, so SNAP has actually been around since about the 1960s. It was first piloted by JFK in 1961 and then later signed into law by President Johnson in 1965. It is a federal food assistance program, so it's a means-tested program. That means if you qualify for it, you get it. And it's extremely effective program at reducing food insecurity. So essentially, individuals get a EBT card, so that's called an electronic benefit transfer card. It looks like a credit card, and that can be used as cash at any type of retail store, so a grocery store, a corner store, and they can only use it on certain items. They cannot use it on alcohol, tobacco, or hot and processed foods. So right now, SNAP is always up for a debate just because it seems to be, it is 80% of the farm bill's budget. It has always been a large part of the farm bill, especially during over the years since we've had different economic depressions and upturns and downturns. And SNAP is meant to really work with the economy. So when the economy gets worse, SNAP recipients and participation goes up. When the economy gets better, we actually see decreases in the SNAP program. In the last 5 years, we've had actually a 10% decrease in SNAP participation across the country.
Now, we think of this as a kind of a social services, health and human services kind of program. It's part of the agriculture bill, but this is not coincidental. It's very much part of America's farm policy, right?
Yes, that is correct. SNAP is extremely important for farmers and also business retailers. So the USDA actually did a report a few years ago and found that for every dollar spent on SNAP benefits, $1.79 actually went back into the community. So it created economic activity. We also have a lot of strong opposition from retailers, even Walmart, Target, other grocery store chains that are actually coming out against a lot of the proposed cuts. And I will say the Trump
administration. I just want to point this out because I just want to make sure everybody heard that shift.
Yeah.
They're opposing the cuts. They don't want to see this program cut.
Yes, they make money off the program. Mm. They get participants that come and shop in their store. They will buy SNAP-eligible products, and they'll also buy other products. So it's extremely important. Even stores in rural communities often rely, their financial viability solely relies on the SNAP program. So in rural areas where you find that people don't often have a large grocery store, small stores are their only source of food. So again, it's extremely important for businesses as well as farmers to receive SNAP program benefits.
It was engineered as an economic development program and a food assistance program, and that was the engineering and the tuning that went into it when it was created. Donald Trump initially wanted a 30% cut. I think that's been scaled back. The latest we're seeing is about a 20% cut. Tell us about what's on the chopping block right now.
So the one thing is to recognize that whatever the administration recommends or proposed, that does not mean that is going to become law. So what I often tell students and other individuals to focus on is watch what's happening in the farm bill. So what the farm bill we're seeing actually is the House Agricultural Committee. So while there's no public text right now, we have congressional aides that are talking with reporters, advocates, and policymakers and telling them what they think is going to be in the farm bill. What we are seeing right now is a suggested $20 billion cut to the SNAP program over a decade. So I would really focus right now on the farm bill and kind of not focus so much on the Trump administration, mm-hmm. but still $20 billion over 10 years.
What percentage of the program would that be, roughly?
Off the top of my head, I cannot remember the actual percentage, but it is, I believe, less than what Trump was proposing.
Okay, so that's the farm bill, and that's the thing that most likely, some version of that.
Yes.
And again, this is not, you would think, well, okay, this is a way to reduce federal spending, so we might see the fault line immediately. Republicans line up behind it, Democrats would be opposed to it, but it doesn't cut so neatly because there are a lot of Republicans who also find this, because it's an economic engine, an important program, right?
Yeah, I will say right now there are a few Republicans that have been writing the text of the farm bill. And I will say that in some states, which are, you know, huge agricultural states that really rely on producing food for the SNAP program, and states that often have higher poverty rates, they really don't want to see a lot of cuts to these programs. And the way the bill text right now, and again, I can't speak to it specifically since it's not public, they're going to do this in two ways. One, they will make stricter eligibility requirements, and two, they're going to make stricter work requirements. The one concern, though, that Democrats have, originally they said that if you do these cuts, you're going to have 8 million individuals kicked off the SNAP program. They have since revised that estimate. They now think that if this bill were to go through as is, 1 million people across the country would be kicked off. I do want to say, in terms of the work requirements, we do know that 60% of able-bodied adults, so that means individuals that are between the ages of 18 and 64, and are not disabled, actually work. The other one, I think, contradiction is we're at a 4.1% unemployment rate, and this is the lowest it's been in two decades. So when you're encouraging people to go out and work, it's very hard when a lot of them that already can work are working,
right.
And there's not a lot of jobs out there right now to take.
Yeah, we're at just about full employment. But the other side of that, if you think through the logic of it, this is a program that helps people in need. People are on and off of this program as they find work. If we hit a bump in the economy and suddenly unemployment spikes, it's going to be, and you write this requirement in to have work, of course, that's at precisely the moment you need it the most, and precisely the moment when people who are the most vulnerable have the hardest time to find a job, right?
Yes, that is correct. And one other, I will say, opposition that some fiscal conservatives are having is that another way they want to save money is to transfer. So in the 2014 Farm Bill, they created an employment and training program. So this was individuals that were on SNAP would receive employment and training to go out and get a job. They want to shift a lot more responsibility to states. So right now, 93% of the SNAP budget goes directly to SNAP recipients. It only has a 7% administrative cost, so overhead cost. That is one of the lowest overhead costs out of any federal assistance program in the country. A lot of Democrats and even some fiscal conservatives are worried, again, these are states that might have low, you know, high poverty rates, that this would shift a lot of that overhead cost to the states, and the states would have to manage it, and it would be a big, I'll say a big burden to oversee and employ this program across the state.
And let's talk about the program now, because you talked about the 42 million people, more or less, who are served, but we found that to some extent SNAP isn't even enough, that benefits tend to run out, and there have been studies on health outcomes, education outcomes, toward the end of the month or toward the time when these benefits run out. Tell us a little bit about what the research shows us.
Yeah, so one of the more recent studies comes out of California. They actually followed patients with type 2 diabetes, and they found that towards the end of the month, and California does distribute benefits at the beginning of the month, they found at the end of the month, hospitalization rates actually increased for those with uncontrolled diabetes. So they were actually paying more for individuals that were coming into the hospital. They had to go to the ER. They were needing, you know, medical care that was much more expensive than prevention or primary care. We also know that the majority of SNAP benefits are are spent by the end of the month. So oftentimes you find that children, you see higher food insecurity rates when you you follow them over through time. And we do know, again, that SNAP benefits, especially with younger children, educational attainment, children on SNAP do better, especially during the beginning of the month than at the end of the month. And it's an important program because we know that educational attainment is completely linked to job security and your wages. So
you can see this program connected both to public spending on the one hand. If you don't spend it on food, you end up spending in other places and perhaps more. And also in terms of economic development, the multiplier effect, $1.79.
Yeah, $1.79 was the USDA's estimate. There's been more, conservative estimates that say every $1 spent is $1.70, but it's still economic activity generated from the program.
More than what you spent. So your public dollars are actually leveraging more in economic activity. So on both ends of the spectrum, fascinating stuff. We only had 12 minutes to talk about this, but you've got a symposium coming up maybe in the next 20 seconds. Can you tell us what that's all about?
Yeah, I would love to just make a plug. So I am a member of the NC Food and Healthcare Intersections Group, and we are actually in a multidisciplinary group. We have researchers from UNC, we have healthcare insurers, we have farmers, we have individuals from NC State, and we will be hosting our keynote speaker, Dr. Ricardo Salvador, and he is the director of the Food Environment Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists. We'll be talking about policy opportunities and challenges coming forward in the next couple years and how we can make that connection between food and healthcare, and really how do we use science to actually inform policy, and also how can we address this at all policy levels, so our local level, our state level, and our federal level.
The symposium is closed out, but you're going to have it available on the web, right?
Yes, we do have a website. It's ncfoodhealthintersections.org, and it will be tomorrow from 9 to 12 p.m., and you can watch it online, and you can watch the recording as well.
That sounds great. Lindsay, thank you so much for being in the program. Lindsay Haynes-Maslow is a professor and extension specialist in the Department of Agriculture and Human Services at NC State. She's one of the organizers of the symposium tomorrow at NC State called Policy Impact, Federal to Local. And, of course, that conversation is going to be webcast. You can find out more information at our website, stateofthings.org. Lindsay, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, marriage and the single black woman. Stay tuned to the State of Things.